Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy, and this is Thursday. Welcome to the show. We're glad that you're listening. Should be a good one. All kinds of great guests. If you have a moody teen or if you are a moody teen, we'll discuss that at 10:35. Wendy, you just came clean and said you've got not one but two moody teens at the house right
now.
Three moody, counting your husband. Wow.
I'm a little moody myself. It's, you know, it's a weird thing. I know, like, nothing was wrong in your life. Your girls were perfect.
Well, that's not true.
I'd like to talk to Terry about
it. Perfect.
Because I'm sure your girls went through a moody phase with their mother.
More with Terry than with me, certainly. But not your traditional, you know how you think about a teenager. Well, you're living this. You don't have to think
it. Yeah, but my teenagers aren't moody to Jim.
They're not.
Mm-mm.
Well, why would you get the brunt of this then?
Because
they can. They figured out.
I'll always be there. I love them unconditionally.
Yeah.
That's about to change.
Good. Very good. All right. Well, we'll discuss moody teens at 10:35 with Katie Smith, who has written about it.
It's and a great article.
Patrick McDonald will be on at 11:35.
What's he written?
Moody
Adults?
Yeah, Moody Adults with Patrick McDonald. All right, I don't know if you'll remember this, but every once in a while, both you and I have used this platform, this radio show, to discuss some kind of a malady we have, some medical problem. And in my case, you know, I'm afraid of doctors. So
and
what I've
I
done
am, in, I'm a doctor. I play a doctor on the radio.
Well, you're good at this. You're good at taking symptoms and figuring out what's wrong. What I want to do is I want to explain a symptom that I have. I had it. It started yesterday morning.
About a week back?
No, it's not a week back. No. This is something that I got yesterday morning, and it went all day yesterday, and I thought, well, probably what I need is some sleep or something, so I'll just sleep, and then I won't have it the next day, but I have it again today.
Is your eye twitching?
No. No. It's so strange that I don't know if... I'm hoping somebody else has had this, and then I'm hoping what you'll do is, if you're in the medical profession or you've had this, you'll call and tell me, and it's not the kind of thing... You know how you hear stuff? Everything tasted like onions, and then he died. Did you ever hear a story like that? Somebody will tell you some story.
Well, you said everything smelled like onions, but you didn't die.
Right. I used to have a thing where liver and onions, where every November... I would smell liver and onions.
Right, and so you think, though, that someone might share this particular malady?
Well, yeah, Steve, my goal is to tell you what my symptom is, and there's just one symptom. And I'll tell you what it is, and then...
You bring up old references?
No, I've had that my whole life.
Oh.
Did you go online and look?
No, I'm afraid.
Don't do that.
Mary, I'm afraid to.
Oh, come on.
Because I've done that in the past with stuff, no matter what it is. Like, you'll go... My index finger has like an itch, and then you read it and people go, yeah, that's...
Could be cancer.
You're going to die. Yeah.
Well, right. It could be.
So here's what it is.
Everything could be cancer.
Everything could be. It started yesterday, all day yesterday, and today.
Uh-oh. All right. You need to clear your throat?
When I whistle, which I do frequently...
I know, Grandpa, because I hear you around... You walk around whistling.
I whistle while I work.
That's what grandfathers do.
And that's a malady, frankly.
No one else has that, unless you're a grandfather and you're not.
Or you're Andy Griffin.
That's not nice.
What do you mean?
All right.
He always whistles.
Here's
the
thing.
What do you whistle?
I know. I whistle all sorts of things because I'm chipper.
Do you whistle while you work?
I do whistle while I work, and I whistle when I don't work. And I do, you know, now everybody has... Their music library is on their phone, but I don't know how to fix mine. So I
whistle songs.
I just think of a song I like, and then I whistle the song.
Do you whistle "Who Are You" by the Who?
Then I pay royalties to whoever. Like every once in a while, Coldplay gets a check for $9. And
do you type the name in your message box so you can look down at your phone and see what you're listening to?
Yes. What album it's from? Uh-huh. What year it was first recorded?
Shazam.
Okay, what's your issue?
All right. When I whistle, I hear it doubly. I hear it twice. Like, normally when you whistle, you just hear yourself whistling. But yesterday and today, whenever I whistle, it's like someone standing to my right and over a couple of feet, and they're whistling the same song as me at the same time. I'm hearing it twice.
You mean like the taps echo? You're not hearing it later, right?
No, I'm not hearing it
like
later.
Like stereo, you're hearing it out
I'm
of
hear- yeah.
instead of mono?
Well,
did you twist your knob?
Have you whacked your head?
All right.
Are you concussed?
Oh, boy.
I hope I don't just fall down and die, because you guys will feel awful.
I
hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, but the whistling would stop.
I would whistle taps as I did it, by the way. Just so at the end, I go,
in
see
double.
I told you guys I was sick, and then I would die, and you'd all feel bad. But what could that possibly be?
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. So when you whistle a song, have you ever done that?
No, but I guess I've whistled.
Whistle right now, Wendy. Okay.
So you're only hearing that once, right?
Well, no, I'm hearing it like three times through my headphones, through the microphone in my head.
Oh, I'm not talking about processing. I'm just talking about try it without. All right, so you hear that. You're hearing it once because you're whistling. Mine is double.
What do you mean double?
Like I said, though, it sounds like somebody's standing not right next to me, but to my right and over a couple of feet, and they are whistling at the exact same time as me.
You hear an echo?
It's not an echo. It's not an echo.
It's just richer.
It's simultaneous.
Is it live or is it Memorex?
It's live.
I think I'm concerned about the anvil in your left ear.
I don't know the anvil bone?
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
What is that?
It's in your ear. I think... maybe you need to get your ears checked.
Or maybe you've got wax in your ear.
Oh, would that
tinnitus.
Cause that?
Tinnitus.
Tinnitus.
Do you have a punctured eardrum?
That's what I heard somebody call it.
I don't think I have a punctured eardrum.
You only hear it when
it
you
would
whistle.
Hurt. It would hurt if he had a punctured eardrum.
It could be tinnitus. A lot of musicians have that.
Pete Townsend has tinnitus very badly.
But that's when you always hear like a tinny, like an
undertone,
no,
it can be many things.
It's a ringing, though.
Yeah, my son-in-law has it. It's very annoying.
Have him bring it over, see if Bill...
Yeah, try it out on me.
Do you have a ringing in your ear?
No.
Ever?
Mm-mm.
If you did, would you answer it, "Hello, Laverne"?
Hello, Laverne.
If that happens, that's how I will answer, yes.
So when you're listening to music and it's maybe the same pitch or tone as you're whistling, it doesn't happen then?
The only time I hear it is when I whistle. You know, I've had to cut back on my whistling because of this.
Thank God.
I don't want to do that. I enjoy the whistling.
I seriously would go to an ENT, an ear, nose, and throat doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I went there once because I felt like It sounded like I had fluid in my ear. I went to the regular doctor, and they said, there is no fluid behind your eardrum. Nothing.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I don't know what it is. And he suggested going to an ENT. I did. The guy cleaned out my ear, which was it was disgusting. I've used so much hairspray in my lifetime that things accumulate.
Wait, so you have hairspray in your ear?
Well, when he cleaned out my ear, he goes, oh, look, it's a boy. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Okay.
I'm making it sound grosser than it was.
Oh,
but
you couldn't possibly.
Every once in a while, you need to get...
Your ear's blown out.
Not blown out, but sometimes things accumulate.
That could be a business, a little clinic, an ear blowout
place. Ear blowouts.
Like they do for your hair?
Yeah, right. Right. I bet they could do it at Jiffy Lube if they wanted to.
A mani, a pedi, and an earie.
There are people that use Q-tips, which I am one of, and they always tell you not to because it just pushes things deeper into your ear canal.
It pushes the wax deeper in.
It's like suppressing memories.
Yes, it is.
They say,
Steve, it is.
Don't put anything larger than your pinky finger in your ear.
Yeah. Even that, I feel silly.
You mean smaller?
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, that's what my argument was to the ENT. He's a great doctor. He goes, do you use Q-tips? I said, yeah, we all use Q-tips. He's like, you're not supposed to use them.
I said, I knew you did because, look, I found a couple of them in your ear. How long have these been here?
Well, this was white at one time.
What are they for then?
Right.
They're for makeup. They're for babies when, you know.
Belly buttons?
Maybe. Maybe.
I guess,
but
I don't know.
I think their primary use is for ear cleaning, isn't it?
No.
Well, you
not?
Can.
No. That's what I thought.
I thought it was.
They're called cotton swabs. They're not called ear cleaners.
Oh, yeah.
Although we all used them for
nail polish, too, to remove your nail
polish. Yeah, I guess you could.
Okay, I'll just say this, and then I'm done.
What, Steve? What?
You can clean the rims of your ears with them.
Right, just not the inner portion of
your
ear.
You can do that with a towel. You know, I use Q-tips. I took a shower this morning.
Yeah.
I use them every morning.
Wait, so you've been told repeatedly not to do it, and
they
found bodies in your ears, and you still do it?
Well, I'm just more gentle, and I'm careful, and I don't push things in, but
Gentle, by the way, the word I often use to describe you.
Yeah, gentle.
That's the one word people go, describe Wendy in one word.
There are a few times in my life I'm gentle.
Gentle.
It's none with you.
I've not seen it.
But you should go to it if this continues.
If it keeps going, I'll see.
Because if you're hearing it like in double and richer, then there's some blockage in there. And if you lose your hearing.
Okay, Bill, I think I have an idea.
All right, Steve?
I want you to do like me, do the cartoon head shake.
Okay.
And see if it goes away.
Do I have to make the cartoon
noise?
No,
you can make any noise you want.
I can't believe he made the cartoon noise.
Jump on one leg and shake your head down.
He just did it.
No, I'm still hearing it double. I'm still hearing double.
All right, drop a bowling ball on your head. Let's try that.
I'm still dizzy from the first exercise you gave me. All right, we'll take a quick break. Does somebody know what I have? Do I need to see a doctor? I'm at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Bill left. It's Wendy Snyder.
I was trying to talk kind of quietly.
You don't have
to.
No, the only time it manifests itself, if you're just joining us and Joanna's on the line, she thinks she can help me. I've had this thing now, this is day two, where whenever I whistle, which is often, I hear everything I whistle twice. Yesterday morning, Wendy, on my way into work.
With Wilford Brimley next to you.
Wilford Brimley and I were on our way into work. We were whistling together. We were whistling the song Head Over Heels by Tears for Fears, and I could hear it twice. Like, normally I would hear it once, but as I whistled it, I went, well, somebody, it sounds like somebody's next to me, and it wasn't Wilford Brimley. It sounds like somebody's whistling it next to me. And now all day yesterday and now again today, when I whistle, I'm hearing it twice. It's very odd.
Joanne, do you know what he's talking about?
Well, because it's just 2 days, yeah. I kind of doubt that it's tinnitus. Tinnitus. I've had it for a really long time, like all my life. And what I've discovered is there could be many different things, allergies, something you ate, many different things.
I ate a whistle. Do you think that could have something to do with it?
I think Wendy has a really good idea about getting your ears flushed.
Oh.
But my dentist suggested a mouth guard, and that made all the difference in the world.
You were grinding your teeth then, right?
I was grinding my teeth, and then that makes all the difference in the world for me.
Does the mouth guard work for you?
It does.
Because I clench. I don't grind. Mm-hmm. And when I've tried three different types of mouth guards, and when they're in my mouth, I clench harder.
Because
it's like a foreign thing in there.
Yeah, right.
So you kind of have to get used to it. And mine, I only wear it at night. And it's specially made just for me. And he adjusts it.
Yeah.
So it takes some time to get used to it. It's like a phenomenon, is what he told me. But it really...
But with the tinnitus, that means you're hearing like a shrill tinny sound almost all the time, right?
Well, it depends. Sometimes I hear it just swishes.
That's what I have. I was just telling Bill that it sounds like there's water in it, and I go to my doctor and he's like, there's no fluid behind your eardrum. It's just, but you hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it just swishes, but when the weather is bad, like raining, it rings. And if I really pay attention, like high sodium stuff, it will ring.
Really? I wonder why would that be? What could cause that?
Well, I've got multiple things wrong.
Oh, wow. All right.
Well, here are some symptoms. Inner ear ringing, which Joanne has mentioned she had. There's also inner ear buzzing that you hear. Inner ear whistling, Bill.
But
well,
that would almost...
different from what I have.
That would almost sound like you're hearing ringing that doesn't exist. It only manifests itself to me when I'm whistling and I'm hearing a second version of it.
Stop whistling.
I have to stop whistling.
You know, there's the problem
That's
solved.
It.
Joanne, you're awesome.
I can't whistle anymore.
Thank you so much for calling.
The other dwarves are going to kick me out of the group.
Caroline, we have 30 seconds, but you have some good advice for Bill.
Okay.
What is it?
Hi.
Hi.
I had the exact same thing happen to me, Bill. I even used the same expression. I'm hearing double.
Yeah.
I went to the doctor, regular doctor, and he said, you have congestion. It fills up your sinus cavities, and it simply, inside your head, and you're hearing your own self-whistle.
Yeah.
He hears it double. So he gave me a prescription, and he decongested, and it was gone.
And it fixed it. All right, I'm doing that then.
You sound like you have a little tiny bit of a cold, so maybe you do have congestion.
I do right now, yeah.
Sudafed. Just give him your driver's license.
Yeah.
You have to at Walgreens, but the Sudafed red ones. Great one, Caroline.
Thanks, Caroline.
It really works.
All right,
two every 4 hours.
All right, maybe that's it. I hope that's what it is. I'm not going to stop whistling. It's the only thing I'm good at. All right, we'll take a quick break. We've got news next and then a lot more show ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Right.
Oh, Nights in White Satin, baby. The Moody Blues.
Moody Blues, Moody Teens. It all ties in.
Nights in White Satin.
I can't take it anymore. I'm just going to tell you that right now. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Steve Bertrand is here. I am a girl. I know sometimes you forget that.
Every day.
When I was a teenager, I might have been snippy to my mom, mm-hmm. but I would be, I don't know, I guess I understand girls more than boys.
Mm-hmm.
Teenage boys are impossible.
Yes.
I have two of them.
Yes.
One is 18. I got to be honest with you, usually the 18-year-old is nicer than the 15-year-old.
Yeah.
But when the 18-year-old was 15, he was a jerk to me.
Oh.
My 15-year-old's a bit of a jerk
that
to me.
That doesn't make sense.
They're really nice to my husband, but they're really... Jim will bring them a Sprite or something, and the 15-year-old will go, thanks, Pops.
Yeah.
And I will bring him a Sprite, and he'll throw a napkin at me and go, get out of my room.
Oh.
I don't know what it is.
I think it's too much Sprite. You're giving these kids way too much Sprite.
All I know is that I go to the website Grown and Flown a lot, and I saw this article. It's easy to get fed up with your moody teen. Do this instead. And I got to be honest with you. Katie Smith is the author of this, and you've opened my eyes to a few things, Katie.
Oh, that's good.
I hate teenage boys. I'm sorry.
Yeah. What? I agree, and I, growing up with all sisters, I was not expecting the moodiness to be quite as intense as it really is.
What's causing all this moodiness, Katie? What do you think's behind it?
I just think it's trying to find their place in the world. I think it's a lot of pressure, the hormones, you know, not enough sleep, probably poor nutrition. I think it's a little bit of all of that, and I also think... maybe nagging parents.
I don't try to be naggy. I really try to help. I really truly do.
Yeah.
But after you've asked someone to do things three times, by the fourth time your voice gets a little naggy sounding. And mm-hmm. I try to remember back to when I was a teenager, and things that are important to me now I didn't care about when I was a teenager. I really mm-hmm. didn't. And, you know, you start thinking, yeah, their rooms are messy, but you know what? Their grades are good. They're doing well in school. So you got to pick your battles. But reading this this article, this blog, it's on grownandflown.com, and it's all about the moody teen. Tell us what we can do.
So for me, I feel like the thing that helped me the most was like what you just said. Okay, their room's a mess, but their grades are good. And asking yourself before you start in, because I know with my teenage boy, I was just very reactive to his moods and the way he was acting. So if he was kind of quiet or would mutter instead of fully answer me, I would kind of be all over him. I felt like it was rude and disrespectful when I think really he was just needing some space, maybe some quiet time, and not really realizing that. But I feel like asking yourself the questions, you know, is this bad for their health? Is this going to affect their future? Is this going to be bad for their grades? You know, asking yourself those three questions maybe before you react to something they're doing and saying, just like what you said about the messy room, has helped me a lot, and to realize when my teen is quiet or when they seem moody or short with me, they're not, you know, there's definitely a difference between being moody and disrespectful, yes. But I think maybe realizing, okay, they need me to back off. They don't feel like talking. Maybe they need some time alone, because I just remember feeling that as a teen and not really knowing why I was feeling that, but just knowing that I wasn't in a good mood. I wasn't able to like come out of it. So for me, those are the things that have helped me, with my kids.
Katie, is it possible? Now, I thought this all the way back when I was a teenager, and it was enforced more when I had teenagers of my own.
Girls, but I might add.
Girls, right.
Who are very well-behaved.
Extremely well-behaved. Yeah. I always thought it's because that transition is a very difficult one. You're not, when you're in your teenage years, you're not a kid anymore, but you're not an adult yet. You're somewhere in that weird limbo stage, and that's not easy.
And you still need mom, and you don't want to admit it, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Like you still, I know for a fact my teens still need me to say, how was your day? You know, what's going on with your friends? Even though they might not let me in and act like they want to talk, I know that they still need that. They still need to see that I'm there and I'm available and that I want to be a part of their life. I think that they definitely need that. But yeah, I think it's all of that. Like you said, they're not kids anymore. They don't really want to play, but they're not an adult yet, and they can't have those responsibilities, even though sometimes I think they really want to, you know, have more responsibilities or more freedom. So they're kind of like caught in that weird space.
It is weird, and I will be honest with you, parents need to listen to what their kids are saying more frequently, because my kids talk to me all the time, so I'm really happy about that. So I shouldn't be upset if, like, occasionally he's kind of a jerk to me, because that's just, he's not ready to talk, you know?
Yeah.
Something that you inspired me to do after reading this on Grown and Flown was I really jump in and try to help all the time. I do it here at work. I do it all the time. I'm a nurturer. I want to make things perfect. I've been told my 15-year-old that, you know, Mom, you can't fix everything. If I'm upset, just let me be upset. So after reading this, I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to give up and say I'm done with you, but I'm going to say do it by yourself, have Dad help you. Mm-hmm. If you need help, you can ask me. I will certainly back you up, but I'm not going to offer anymore. Is that good advice?
Right. That is great advice. It doesn't have to all be on your shoulders. Absolutely. I'm the exact same way, and I feel like that's when I get a little bit too, you know, a little bit too into their business, I guess, because I want so much to get them out of the bad mood or fix the problem. But, you know, like your son is right. It's okay if he's feeling this way, and maybe even more beneficial for him to kind of come out of it on his own.
It's hard. I mean, you know, we lost our dog and we were in the process of adopting a new one, and someone adopted it before us, and he was mad. And I'm like, well, it wasn't meant. He goes, I know. Can I just feel bad about it? And then I thought, yeah, you certainly can. It's hard, you know, as a mom and as a dad, you don't like to see your kids be hurt.
No, you want to fix it.
Katie Smith is our guest. We'll talk more about the moody teens, how we can fix this problem. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Katie Smith is on the line with us. She is a contributor, a writer for grownandflown.com, which is a really great website to check out if you have kids. We're talking about our article about moody teens. Something that was written in here, picking fights with our kids over hairstyles or other irrelevant things can be harmful. And, you know, here's the thing. I have a kid who wears the same Blackhawks sweatshirt almost every day. I wash it, and I'm embarrassed of what people might think. I was at a parent-teacher conference and said, sorry about the Blackhawks sweatshirt. Please know that I wash it every couple of days. They didn't even notice. They said every other kid does the same kind of thing. Who cares?
Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble wore the same shirts every day for 38 years, and I love them.
But don't you think we parent a lot on what other people are going to say?
Oh, yes. Yes. What are people going to think? What are they going to? And in reality, just like you said, I mean, they're not even paying attention. They're worried about themselves and their own kids. And, you know, they're not even, nobody even notices. Oh, yes. I definitely think that is a huge contributor.
Katie, Wendy and I had a guest on once talking about the relationship between adults and their kids. And they said, when you talk to your kids, don't throw questions at them. Where are you going? Who are you going with? What time will you be back? Kids don't want that. But if you're talking to anybody, most of your conversation with them, or a part of it anyway, is questions. That's just how a conversation normally works.
What do
you think?
Yeah, definitely.
So how do you keep that dialogue going without the questions?
Oh, gosh. I am definitely not very good in that area. I do know, though, that when I do ask my teen question after question after question, he definitely shuts down, maybe by like the third question. So I think what I try to do is maybe ask a question, really listen to what he's saying, and then try to expand and have a conversation about how he's answering.
That makes sense.
You know, because I do feel like I think he can tell I'm coming at him with a list that I feel like I need to have checked off before I feel okay, and it can come across as being very reactive. And I know for my son, and I think a lot of teens, when they see their parents being more reactive, that's when they kind of shut down.
So you just say, did you have fun?
Right. No, you had fun, I'm guessing. Not in question form.
Yeah, right.
Right. All right. That's doable. I'll do that.
All right. And a lot of texts coming in about, you know, I have rude, spoiled, bratty kids and things like that. And that's what I'm talking about, where people judge. And I've spoken to people who say, you know, you just got to crack down. It's a different time. My mom was pretty strict and she would ground me. And I was talking to my sister the other day and I think, why didn't I just blow off what she said and go out?
Yeah.
But I was scared of not being able to go to parties for the rest of my life. It's a different time now. We don't fear. I guess we feared our parents, but I don't want my kids to be afraid of me.
Right. I know. I feel the same. I feel the same way. And I also think that there are many parents that I know, and I feel like I'm kind of included in this, where, you know, of course, my kids say, you're the strict mom, you're the strict one, you're so much more strict than all my friends' parents. But you can still be a strict parent or enforce the rules and still have kids that are going to be jerks. You know, it doesn't mean that you're not doing it right because your kid is going to be a jerk once in a while, or maybe more than that. You know, I don't think it's necessarily a direct reflection on the parents. And I think that that's what a lot of people forget. And then that's when the whole, like, you know, all the advice comes in.
Katie, I like to blame everything on technology. Is the internet at fault with these moody teens?
Yes.
It is.
I know, what makes me moody. Yeah, and it's because I think that they're constantly comparing. You know, they never have time off. They come home from school and, like, we had time off. Maybe we called our friends or went to sports practice. But these kids, everything is so intense. You know, their practices are longer and more often. And then they pick up their phone and they see what their friend has posted on Instagram or Facebook or Snapchat. And there's no time off from seeing what everybody else is doing and who's hanging out with who and who said who to what on their page. And they're not getting a break from that. And I think that it can make them irritable. It can make them overtired. It can make them feel less than.
Yep.
You know, I definitely think that's a huge factor.
I bet their diet has something to do with it, because a lot of kids are surviving on fast foods and on Tide Pods, and that's not enough. You got to eat more better meals.
Yes, you do. Yep. You absolutely do. Yeah. My son actually gave up sugar around Christmas on his own accord. It was something he wanted to do. He's recently been into weightlifting. And so he decided to give up sugar, and I wasn't sure how long it was going to last, but he has still stayed true to that. And I mean, obviously, to ask your kids to give up sugar, to try to enforce that is really impossible, but he's doing it on his own. And I cannot believe the change in his moods. And he has said that he sleeps better. He feels like his dreams are more intense. He feels more rested when he wakes up. So for him, that he found that worked. And so he wants to stick with it because he feels so good.
Bill, you idolize him, don't you? Bill does this twice a year where he gives up all sugar.
I feel it's the best I feel all year. You can't compare it to anything. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he's doing a smart thing there. Good for him.
Yeah, and he says he doesn't miss it at all. So, I mean, he's feeling fantastic, and definitely the mood. I mean, he gives me hugs again. He's more responsive. I can't believe the change in him.
Sure.
I will tell you, you don't realize how much your parents have done for you until you have children of your own. And unfortunately, my parents weren't around to see my kids. But you then start going, man, all the sacrifices my mom and dad made for me. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty tough being a parent, I'll tell you that. There's really no manual to follow. You love them as much as you can, and you do what you feel is right. That's the bottom line. Katie, thank you for talking with us. You can find many of her contributions to Grown and Flown at grownandflown.com. She's Katie Smith, and you're on Facebook as well, correct?
Yes, I'm on Facebook as well, yes.
Katie, on a personal note, I know you're in Maine. Where in Maine are you?
I live in Bodenham, which is a tiny town about a half hour north of Portland, which most people have heard of Portland,
sure.
Maine.
All right, I know.
Yeah, that's where I am.
We go to Ogunquit every year, and I, well, we need a ride, actually, from the airport, so I'm trying to set something up with you in June.
Oh, yeah. Hey, if you put me up in a hotel for the night, I would definitely
all right.
do it.
We'll figure something out. That's a deal.
Well, thank you so much. And I don't you think the bottom line is these kids need more sleep. It's these kids stay up very late, and I can't believe high school starts like 7:45 is start time for our kids. What time do your kids start?
Yeah, it's about 7:20 here.
Oh my God. That is so
day.
Early for a kid who is, you know, going through the hormonal change. Let the elementary school kids start at 7:20 if you need to stagger the times.
Seriously.
Katie, thanks so much.
Thank you, Katie. Great talking to you.
Yes, thanks, guys.
It's Katie Smith. The website, again, is grownandflown.com. We'll take a quick break. We've got news next and then a lot more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Yo-ho, yo-ho, a pirate's life for me. We pillage and plunder, we rifle and loot, drink up me heart as you hold. We kidnap
Wendy, they, and when I say they, I mean the guys over at Disney World, the happiest place on earth.
Still to be determined by some people.
You don't think, what is a happier place on earth than Walt Disney World in
Well,
Florida?
I've had a lot of bad experiences
I know,
there. But the last one was good. You can call me Wenchy during this.
Right. Do you mind? I do it privately sometimes, but now I'm going to do it publicly.
I know.
All right. So over at Disney World, some would say the happiest place on earth, they have changed one of the most iconic and favorite rides for millions, if not billions of people, Pirates of the Caribbean.
I love this one.
Has been changed.
This is the one we go on several times.
It's
what about you?
It's a fun ride. I love Pirates of the Caribbean.
That and the Haunted Mansion.
You know, Disney has this way of when you're walking through the line, you're not even on the ride yet, they get you in the mood. You know, like in Pirates of the Caribbean, you're walking through this old Spanish castle. That's really cool. Haunted Mansion, obviously, you're walking through a haunted mansion. So you're not even on the ride yet, but
right.
they just so immerse you in whatever the world is. It's perfect. Well, they've changed one of the scenes on Pirates of the Caribbean. You know the scene, they call it the auction scene. This is early on in the ride. You go through, your boat goes through this little thing where they're auctioning off women to the pirates.
That's what pirates did.
That is exactly what pirates did.
They Sometimes weren't good they people.
No. No, the pirates are not good people. They are not. So you got a whole bunch of women tied up, some of them attractive, some of them not. And then that's on one side of your boat, and on the other side,
Does
you have a bunch of pirates.
Does that matter that some are attractive?
Yeah,
and some
because
are not.
The reason they changed it, or one of the reasons they changed it, is and maybe you'll remember this. Up for auction as you pass by it is a very attractive woman with red hair, and all the pirates are going nuts for her, and they're chanting, "We wants the redhead! We wants the redhead!"
Have you been a pirate? Because you did that very well.
No, but I've been to some Bears games. So a lot of times you'll get that in some of the stands. So people are now saying, you know, we live in a much more sensitive time where women being auctioned off is not a pleasant thought.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So over at Disney World, they said, well, you know, we've got all these people at what might be the happiest place on earth visiting us and going through this ride where they're auctioning off women. We can't have that. So they've changed it. And now the redhead, the attractive redhead who is being auctioned off, she herself is now a pirate, and they are auctioning off food and rum to the pirates. Now the pirates that used to say, "We wants the redhead," are saying, "We wants the rum."
I kind of like this. I mean, it's not holding true to the movie, which is what it should do for...
Well, the movie came way after the ride. The ride was established way before the movie.
Is that true?
Oh,
I guess that's...
And they've added... To make it more movie-like, they've added Johnny Depp's character, Black Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
He never used to be in the ride until the movie came along, and now he's in the ride.
But wasn't it a piece of literature before it was a movie?
No. It was
really?
Just a ride. Yeah, just a
So
ride.
They based that movie off that?
Off the ride, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's one of the weaker Disney rides, don't you think?
Oh, I love
no,
it.
No, you don't like it?
You do?
I don't like rides, so to me that,
Oh, cause
you know.
And then that's kind of, you can just go through on a boat and you're good?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I just
it's
think,
relaxing you know, to watch pirates.
Well, it
do,
is.
Do what pirates do.
Faith.
Burn down a village. Pirates, even the song says, Jess, find the beginning of that song. Can you do that? Listen to what they say at the very beginning of the song about pillage and plunder and stuff like that. That's what, I mean, you can change history as much as you want. Pirates did, on a daily basis, a lot of nasty stuff. you know?
Yeah.
And there was even, there used to be a scene in the ride, and this is another scene they changed about 10 years ago. So forever, they had pirates after the auction scene, they had pirates chasing women around the village.
Someone just texted that.
They're right behind them chasing. So then
Ladies
Disney,
of the Evening.
Possibly. But now they've changed that about 10 years ago to where the women are now chasing the pirates. It's the exact same scene, but it's just reversed.
Oh, somebody texted in and said instead of the pirates chasing the wench that they were, they're now chasing a chicken.
Oh, yeah. They're.
But I think that's a different thing.
No, I think that I think one of the pirates is now chasing a chicken, which is did pirates chase the chicken? I don't know if they did or not. Maybe.
Couldn't they just take their whatever, their sword and
cut it up?
Yeah.
Make a chicken patty. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. It's like you got to hold true to pirate times and history, but then it's kind of a nice thing. You know, mostly kids go to Disney.
Right. I'm sure there
was couples with matching T-shirts.
You do see a bit of that. I'm positive at some point there was a discussion. You know, kids would say to their parents, the pirates we see in the movies are friendly pirates. Did pirates really do these things? But yeah, pirates were the worst, you know? So it depends on how... I guess on how factual you want to make your pirates. It's still an amusement park where families are going to enjoy themselves. So how accurate do you want it to be?
And Kim 219 says it's a great ride to get a quick nap out of the heat. I do have to be honest.
That's true. You do have some air there. That's a good thing.
We've gone to Disney in June like idiots where it's really hot. So that and Haunted Mansion. And I really liked going in the movie ride, which is no longer there.
Yeah, because that's a long
ride. Oh, I love the
ride.
Great movie ride. That was great.
Yeah, that's gone. But that was like a 23-minute ride.
Oh, and AC. That's how I finally got the kids to go see the Hall of Presidents. It's like it's cool in there, and then they ended up loving it. I think that's how they got me in there.
One of my daughters is still angry that we took her to Hall of Presidents.
Why?
Because she said it ruined the day. She didn't want to see a bunch of presidents just standing around. She wanted to see action.
You know what else is a great one, and it's so dated now, was the GE Carousel of Progress.
Loved it.
I love it.
I love that.
Loved it.
It is so dated now. I mean, I think they've still updated it, but I don't think it's totally up to date.
Right.
The guy that's in the turnaround, it looks like Norm MacDonald.
Yeah, a little
bit.
He
really looks like Norm. If anybody's going to Disney soon, check that out because he does.
I can still hear the song.
Yeah.
These are the times. These are the best times. That's the song. These are the times. These are the best times. Da, 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 da. That song?
No, it's something like...
Uh-oh.
They may have updated it.
Kim's throwing down against Bill Leff and Disney. This is not going to end
No, they probably updated it.
It's a great big beautiful tomorrow is what they say.
That is the new version.
Is that the new version?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The old
Kim
version.
Just trumped. I don't want to use that. Kim just beat Bill Leff at a trivia.
No.
Write it down. It'll never happen again.
No, he said no.
We're both right. Because the first song was These Are the Times. These Are the Best Times.
She's a grandmother.
That's right.
Just give it to her.
You're going to win every conversation now, Kim. She's like, well, you keep picking on a grandmother.
Oh, wait, we have a clarification also. Right. Hi, Sharon. We're talking about pirates chasing things.
Yes, they've renovated that ride several times. A couple times we'd go, it'd be closed for the renovations. But like 15 years ago, they put plates of food in the wench's hands because the pirates used to chase them around the ship for sex. You know,
yes. Right.
And so we're there 1 year and they're closing it because they had to put plates of food in the wench's hand so it looked like they were chasing them for the food.
Because that's what pirates did. They didn't do anything nasty to the women. They just enjoyed a chicken leg.
But you brought up the point that the movie, The Pirates of the Caribbean, was based on the Disney ride. And then the last time we were there a couple years ago, it was closed again because they're renovating it to bring it up to scale like what everyone knows currently, which is the Johnny Depp.
Right.
But it's based on the way it was, not that we don't have to upgrade it to the current, you know, what people are expecting because it's...
Well, because it's historical. It's that came first. I agree.
But if they wanted to be really accurate, they would update the Hall of Presidents and have Trump and Clinton and everybody. They should be chasing women around instead of the pirates. That'd be more accurate.
Thank you very much, Sharon.
Thanks, Sharon. That'd be the most accurate. All right, what are your
Clinton
thoughts on
for
this?
Sure.
Clinton for sure. The others allegedly.
Yeah.
All right, so should they be making this change to Pirates of the Caribbean? They're changing a classic. What do you think? 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. They have changed one of your favorite rides over at Walt Disney World. Not everybody's favorite ride. Kim Gordon, not a fan of Pirates of the Caribbean. Uh-uh. Grandma's of the Caribbean loves it. Pirates of the Caribbean, not so much. You know that scene, that auction scene where they're auctioning off the wenches to the pirates? That doesn't take place anymore. Now they're auctioning off rum. And the head lady, the head pirate, the lady is now Red the Pirate. Captain Red is her name now.
Were there women pirates back in the day? I don't think so.
In the original ride, there was one pirate woman playing
the accordion. It's not really an accordion, but it's an early
version of an accordion.
Right, a squeeze box,
yeah,
if you will.
Yeah.
What's that called?
I think that's called a squeeze box, I think, right?
I don't know.
Yeah. So I guess she's still there.
Was she attractive?
That doesn't matter. In the pirate world, Wendy, that doesn't matter.
Because the guys were not that attractive, if you want to know the truth.
No.
All right, so what do you think? Do you think it needs to be changed? Hi, John. Thank you for calling.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
So this whole conversation is like, what came first, the chicken or the egg, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for all the times I've been to Disney World, I think what they're doing is they're trying to make it more relevant to today's kids. Because when we were kids and we went there, yeah, it was cool, it was nice, it was air conditioned, I agree. But now it's all about what they're going to be able to buy at the end of the ride that the kids are going to ask their parents to buy. So they'll want the Jack Sparrow hat, they'll want the gun, and you know, all that kind of stuff that is really what Disney, quite honestly, is all about. Which is merchandising.
John, I agree with you, but it's not so much about relevance as it is about political correctness. I think they're worried about a family coming in and seeing, you know, women being auctioned off, and that leads to an ugly discussion with the parents later. Did they really auction off women at some point? Yeah, that's what pirates did.
All right, do you actually think that a 7-year-old is going to make that connection? I don't think so.
It's a parent. It's the parent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, at this point, Disney World is, you know, the world's largest ATM.
Sure.
And it's an ATM for Disney.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, I love Pirates of the Caribbean. I liked all the movies, but I no longer attribute the movie to the ride because it's an entity unto itself.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, so, without question. Well, thank you, John. Yeah. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks.
Can we talk to Kathy?
Sure.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I love you guys. I'm born and raised in Chicago, but moved to Scranton, Pennsylvania. Oh. So I listen to you guys every day.
Oh, thank
Scranton.
You for doing that.
Awesome.
That's excellent. Yeah. Thank you.
No problem. So I hate to correct you, Bill, because I would never want to correct you, but the song used to be, Now is the Time.
Now is the best time. These are the best times of our life. Is
what
that
did
it?
You say?
Exactly. You got it.
Isn't that what I said?
You said this is the time or something a little bit different, I think.
Oh, okay.
And also...
He's offended that you're not accepting what he said.
No, that's fine. And what else? What was the other part?
The other thing was, and I checked my facts. I was a little bit wrong when I talked to your producer. But the thing about Carousel of Progress is that was first at the World's Fair in New York in 1964. So I thought it was Chicago's World's Fair, but it was the New York World's Fair in 64. And then it was moved to Disneyland, and then it was moved to Disney World. And I'm old enough to remember when you used to be able to go into Disney World and ride some rides for free, ticket rides. And that was one of those rides that was free because GE sponsored it.
Right.
So that was a free ride.
If you had wings, was also free back then.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
You get a ticket book, and it was e-tickets through e-tickets. And the e-ticket, what was that? Right. That was $1, right, to go on an e-ticket ride?
Very nominal, obviously, compared to what it is today. But
I can't believe the price of like an all-day pass for a park. And really, you go like a couple days to a couple parks. It's really expensive.
It's expensive, but it's one of those things, if everything goes well, you remember for your whole life. So even though it's expensive,
exactly.
You can't say no
and
to
people
it.
People will keep people will keep paying. That's the thing. You know, no matter what it is, people will just keep paying. So.
Yeah.
Although, if it was cheaper, wouldn't people go more repeat visits? I know some people do, but I mean, like for families, they really have to save up for that. It's a lot of money if you have a family of five.
It's expensive. And, you know, they started doing a thing a year ago that I'm not a fan of, where on their busiest days, they charge more to get in. And I think it should be the opposite,
because
on the busier days, you don't get on as many rides, but you're paying more.
Exactly.
I'm not a fan of that.
And I'm also not a fan of the whole Fast Pass. I feel like they've taken away all the spontaneity of going to Disney World. Now you have to wait and get your Fast Pass 6 months ahead of time. And it's just kind of taken away a lot of what I think Walt Disney really had in mind.
I agree.
He envisioned.
Some of the restaurants, you have to make reservations months in advance. The new one, the Beauty and the Beast restaurant, you have to call four or five months in advance.
It's worth it, though, because that's the only place in the park I think a parent can have a beer.
Oh, yeah.
That's true, too.
Well, thanks. We appreciate the phone call, Kath. Have a great rest of the week.
Thank you. You too.
Take care. Bye.
Somebody has texted, there really was a woman pirate. She used to flash her breast and then stab the person that she was fighting. That was in the ride.
Really?
I don't know if it's a joke or what, because I almost feel like I remember that. Where she pulled her, you know, she did a Janet Jackson.
I don't know. I would just be guessing, but I would imagine there must have been women pirates. I don't know if they did what this listener says they did.
I'm so gullible. I believe
I'm guessing
everything.
There were probably women pirates. Didn't Gina Davis make a movie where she was a woman pirate? She did, right?
Yeah. She was good. I don't remember the movie, though.
I don't either. I can't remember the title of it. And I don't know that was based on a true
story.
Cutthroat Island.
I'm a quick
with
Googler.
With Matthew Modine. Right? Isn't he in it?
Yes. Yeah. Frank Langella.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I know.
Yeah. That's all you need to know.
All right.
That's fine. All right. A quick break, and then Patrick McDonald will join us. We'll talk about movies. Stick around. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Kim, thank you very much. Patrick McDonald is here, and you made me realize that I'm surprised my husband has not kicked me out yet. I haven't seen the new Star Wars movie yet.
Oh, Wendy.
Oh, my.
I really haven't. I haven't seen Black Panther. I haven't seen anything lately.
It's available for download now.
All right.
The Jedi movie.
Can you download it already?
Yeah. Yes, I think.
Yes, he did.
He did.
Okay, come to our house.
There you go, Bill.
That was fast. Wow. Very fast.
Yeah, very fast.
You just mentioned Black Panther.
Yes.
It continues to just break records almost every day.
Did you see it, Bill?
I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't either.
No, I want to.
Yeah. It's.
But Trevor Noah said, if you're white and you haven't seen it, you're clearly racist.
He did?
Yeah.
That's really funny.
That was really funny. Yeah.
One of the records it has right now, it's the most tweeted movie of all time.
Wow.
You think about the Star Wars anticipation.
Yeah.
And,
but this more so.
Yeah.
What do you think? I've heard this referred to as the perfect storm, that it's not only a well-made movie, but the timing is right.
Yes.
Right? So
yeah,
it's
we
a little
talked
bit of
about
everything.
This. It was an amazing marketing campaign.
Yeah.
And of course, they brought it out in Black History Month, mm-hmm. and the ties to African history, both in the mainland and in the United States, are in the movie, and it's beautifully, beautifully done. I can't say enough about Black Panther.
Do you think this matters a little bit? Because I do, and I haven't seen it yet, so it's just a guess on my part. But Black Panther isn't exactly a major character in the Marvel Universe.
Right.
He's a minor character, and a lot of people don't know the backstory, so for a lot of us who are going to see the movie, it's all new.
Yes.
We don't know. Like if Superman or Batman or Spider-Man shows up, you know how they got to be Spider-Man or Batman or Superman. Not so with Black Panther.
And the same with Ant-Man.
Yes.
You know, that they did. Yes,
with
that's
Paul
a
Rudd.
Really good point. Now, Black Panther is from 1966.
Mm-hmm.
Stan Lee, Jack Kirby has the roots there because they wanted to invent an African-American superhero.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's the same year that the Black Panthers started. So they think there's a synergy between that, but they're not sure. And
did Oakland he precede? There was a character, Falcon, that's on the DC Universe side.
Mm-hmm.
Was he first or was Black Panther first?
Ooh. You got
don't
me.
Know.
Now you're giving me the
and then
comic
Black
trivia.
Lightning was on Super Friends. He was also African American.
Right.
Well, you know all this, Wendy. They teach this in school.
No, I don't.
This is in history class. They teach you this stuff in school. Sure.
Are you the comic book guy, too?
I might have read a comic book along the way. I don't
worst
know.
Episode ever.
Ever. Yeah. Yeah. So it just keeps knocking off the competition. Is it 5 weeks in a row? It was number
five
one?
5 weeks in a row. That's great. It has a long way to beat the champion, E.T., mm-hmm. at 16 weeks. And, of course, Titanic had 15 weeks. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what's upcoming, of course, next week is Spielberg's big movie, Ready Player One.
Looks good, doesn't it?
Yes. I did see the
It's
preview.
A geek fest, isn't it?
Oh, it's such a geek fest. It is the. I saw a kid in front of me just practically wetting his pants.
Oh.
I mean, he was just and that's, shaking.
That's
and
good, right?
Screaming. When that yes, in a yes. Movie, yeah. It's, well, the references are amazing in the film. I yeah. mean, it's filled with this reference stuff. And
Steven Spielberg has said it was kind of a challenge because you have to go through all different sorts of companies to get the rights to use these references. Imagine.
Yeah.
So what a pain.
Well, yeah. Warner Brothers was a big one, so they had the DC universe taken care of. But you know,
but
they,
Star Wars was yeah, a different animal.
It was sort of like Who Framed Roger Rabbit. They had. Yeah. To go and get all the rights to those cartoon characters.
Yeah.
So
that takes some doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Zemeckis even has a reference in the film. I won't give any more away.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
By the way, Patrick McDonald is critic for HollywoodChicago.com.
He is.
I needed to say that because we just kind of started talking. I didn't give you a proper introduction. I apologize. Thank
you. Patrick, one of the things you wanted to talk about today is we've had so many actors and directors involved
yes.
in this sexual scandal in Hollywood. But one of the names involved has finally gotten another job. We didn't know who, if anyone, would be working again, but one of them has.
Yes. Obviously, this was filmed before it went down. But Jeffrey Tambor is in a movie that was releasing wider in Chicago this week called The Death of Stalin.
Mm-hmm.
Stalin? Stalin. Thank you. Stalin. Midwest.
Right.
Right. over by there. So, Stalin. The Death of Stalin has Jeffrey Tambor as one of the deputies who accedes to the rank of premier mm-hmm. after Stalin dies.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays his usual weasel character, and he's just amazing. And it's a very funny movie.
But there was a time, under normal circumstances, that if this movie was coming out right. and you have Jeffrey Tambor in the movie, he shows up on all the late-night talk shows, you're not going to see him anywhere, are you?
Right. And also, too, if the timing had been a few months ago, who knows? Maybe they postponed the release.
They might have scrapped it. Yeah.
Because yeah. he's so prominent in the film.
You know what they did with the J. Paul Getty movie where they reshot all of Kevin Spacey's yes. scenes with Christopher Plummer?
Yes.
Was there time to do that? Did they consider doing that?
No. Not on this level of filmmaking, no way.
No.
But I think, again, and I've said it before, I think it was a mistake, too. I would have delayed the release of the film. Let everything die down and then bring it out in 2018, All the Money in the World, because it just went nowhere.
Yeah.
The whole, what will all come out of that movie is the Mark Wahlberg story and the fact that Kevin Spacey was replaced.
Right, right.
And that's it.
Here's another, this is a side note to All the Money in the World. So that was a movie about J. Paul Getty and about the kidnapping and the Getty family and stuff.
Yes.
Now, I keep seeing there's a miniseries on television that's about to start with Donald Sutherland.
It looks
Sutherland.
So good.
Right.
Yeah, it's the same exact story.
Is right. it really?
Yeah.
So if you're those guys, if you made the TV version, the miniseries version... Yeah. You're not happy that there was already a version that just came out, right?
Well, I was saying the other day, this story has been around for over 40 years.
Untouched.
Untouched. And right. then suddenly, like the Truman Capote stories yeah. and the Alfred Hitchcock stories, they all come out at once.
Yeah.
It's very strange zeitgeist, man.
That's crazy. Because
yeah.
my first thought was they're probably thinking, oh, there's some attention on the Gettys because of that movie. But then
right.
the more I thought about it,
no.
the more I thought, no, the people who wanted to see that story just went to see that story.
Well, and also, too, I think they were in production simultaneously.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. Patrick McDonald is here. The website, again, HollywoodChicago.com. And the tours are starting
yes,
soon.
We are starting in April. So go to ChicagoFilmTour.com and sign up for your tour. We'll tell you the dates that we have in our soft opening in April.
Excellent. Thanks, Patrick. More after this. It's Bill Luff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Patrick McDonald is our guest. Patrick is a film critic over at HollywoodChicago.com. And again, the film tours start up
yes.
very, very soon.
Soft opening in April, and then we have our season coming up.
If people want to know more, the website there is?
ChicagoFilmTour.com. We're also on Viator, if you want to
Excellent.
Go through that
Good.
Method.
Patrick, some big movies opening up this weekend. Yep. Let us start with Pacific Rim Uprising, the sequel of, obviously, to Pacific Rim from right. a few years ago.
Right. Guillermo del Toro did the original film in 2013. And, you know, given that it's him, he put a little fairy tale spin on it. Mm-hmm. A lot meatier movie. That this one has more action.
Does it?
Yeah. This is capitulating sort of to the Transformers crowd.
Every time I see a commercial for it, I think it's a Transformers movie. Yeah. That's exactly what it looks like.
A lot of CGI, a lot of destruction, a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
3 out of 5 for me. But I think if you're a fan of the series, you'll be satisfied.
Any big names in it? I don't know who's
Charlie
in
Day is returning from the first movie.
Wait, is that a big you seem displeased.
I love him. Screecher, let's just say. I didn't see the first one, but I heard bad things.
It did not hold my attention at all. Oh, and I love Del Toro movies, but that just it went right through me.
I like that
you
film.
Did?
Yeah, I did. I liked it a lot better. Not a lot better, but better than Uprising.
What is it? Tell me what the difference is between this and Transformers, because they look almost, like I said, the same to me. I can't tell the difference.
Oh, boy. It's is just there a that difference? They give it more of a backstory in Pacific Rim. Like, those Transformers movies are like Dada. They're like surrealist.
Yeah.
You go in there, you're about halfway through, and you go, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
And then, but this one, they have story, they have, you
There's
know,
a
legend.
Reason that they're attacking and destroying things.
They have a ultra-dimensional rival that comes out of the sea.
Well, all right, I'm in. You sold me. I love when stuff comes out of the sea. All right, so Pacific Rim Uprising, what is your rating?
3 out of 5.
3 out of 5, yeah. The other one was a movie we started to talk about a little while ago, The Death of Stalin.
Death of Stalin. Stalin.
Stalin.
Stalin. Over by there.
Joseph Stalin, correct?
Yes, Joseph Stalin, the premier of the Soviet Union, who died in 1953, killed 600,000 of his own people.
Yeah.
It starts off with those lists that they're going out and doing that to the people. It kept them under complete fear. I mean, it was just a horrible time to live in Russia. But when is ever a good time to live in Russia?
That's valid.
I'm sorry to our Russian listeners.
Yes.
So, yeah, you have a big Russian presence. But anyway.
Putin calls us and congratulates us after every show, Patrick, so be very careful what you say.
Shirtless.
Yeah.
But this is 4.5 out of 5. The same guy who did Veep. Okay? His name is Armando... where's my notes? Iannucci.
Oh, okay.
Armando Iannucci. He's the writer and director and, you know, kind of steerer of the series Veep. So if you can imagine The Death of Stalin as Veep, this is how
it's very peculiar. This is a drama, right?
Right. And they do no Russian accents in it. It's British actors and American actors just talking like they talk.
Oh.
And
is that distracting? Because you'd say to yourself, they should have at least a Russian accent.
It's part of the gag, I would say.
Oh, all right.
And also they have the creative swearing that Veep has. You know how Veep has that incredible, you know, over the top swearing. This movie does it too, and it's hilarious.
Oh.
Steve Buscemi is the he plays Nikita Khrushchev. That's all you have to
really?
Say.
Really?
Yes,
I love him, man.
He is crazy.
That's
in
incredibly
this.
Interesting casting.
Oh my gosh! And Jeffrey Tambor, as I said, plays Gregory. Regardless, it's the next in line to be the premier, and he's hilarious. And it just, you know, it's just Michael Palin makes an appearance as Molotov of the famous cocktail.
Wow.
All right. This sounds really
fantastic
funny.
Casting.
It is great.
Is this in wide release, The Death of Stalin, or is this only
it is now in
a few theaters?
It will be in 5 theaters in Chicago, but check your local listings for theaters and showtimes, as I always say in my reviews.
It's unfair to ask you because I know you haven't seen either of these, but I'm curious about both. Well, I'm curious about one of them. Unsane is a movie that I keep seeing ads for on TV that looks really, really scary.
That's
Have you heard anything?
Yeah.
That is a Steven Soderbergh movie.
Yeah.
By the way,
said a few years ago he was done making movies, but continue. And I'm fine with it because I love his movies. But he said, "I'm done. I've said what I needed to say." Mm-hmm. But he keeps making them.
It's a horror film set in an asylum. So we were talking about movies we've seen before.
Yeah.
This is something we've obviously seen before. It's
Knife
set in
Configuration.
The
did you ever see that? That was set in an asylum.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Who did that? Who's in that? What is that called? I like asylum movies.
Ninth Configuration is William Peter Blatty. He's the one who wrote it.
Exorcist.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We know is that it's supposed to be scary, but they didn't show it to you, or you just didn't get around to seeing it?
I did not get around to seeing it, sir. Jay Farrell's in it. Amy Irving's in it. Claire Foy.
Jay Farrell?
Yeah.
From Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, that should be good.
Friend of the show.
Yeah.
We've had him on. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Sherlock Gnomes is the other thing that I didn't see that's opening. Garden Gnomes plays,
obviously. Get out of here.
Well, it was Romeo and Juliet was the first
one.
That
was the last one.
Where have I been? Is it a kid movie?
Yeah.
Of course, coming up, Gnome with the Wind. Hello.
There's no place like Gnome.
To Gnome is to love him.
To Gnome with love.
That's
good.
When do the summer blockbusters start? Do we have to wait until May?
May 1st. It's going to kick off with Infinity War, which is...
The Marvel Universe
movie. Actually the last... It will be 4/27. April 27th will be Avengers Infinity Wars. And I think Ready Player One's going to knock Black Panther off number one. But if it doesn't, it will go to the Infinity Wars, which will be 10 weeks at number one. I just can't imagine
it. I read the cast list for this one. Now, in the past, whenever they do the Avengers movies, you got 5 or 6 or 7 big names.
Yep.
But in this one, in Infinity Wars, it's almost anyone who's ever been in a Marvel movie ever, right?
Okay, I guess, yeah.
It looks really... I'm hoping it's really good. I'm hoping.
They generally are good. Even if they're not, like, perfect, they have something about them.
Yeah.
You know... The people who did the Captain America series are just, those films are great, you know? So,
doing a nice job. For the summer movies, is there one or two titles coming up in May, June, July, or August that you're really looking forward to, you cannot wait to see?
Infinity Wars.
That's it? Is that it?
I don't have the list in front of me, but I can bring that the next time.
I brought one up to you, a horror movie Toni Collette is in. That has been making the rounds at all the film festivals, and I read the reviews on it, and everybody says the same thing. So scary, I couldn't even look at the screen, that kind of thing. I love hearing that about a movie.
How can you go to a movie like that?
I don't think there's ever been a movie so scary that I couldn't watch it, but I've been to horror movies where people are so afraid they have to turn away, they can't look at what they're seeing.
And then they dream about it for nights forever. After that. I just don't...
I know.
I don't like to be scared.
People like, it's the same as going on a roller coaster, you know?
Lame.
So you're daring yourself to get through it.
Exactly.
The challenge is to try your best to get through it as best you can.
Yeah, that's fun in life.
I know.
With all this stress out there, that's fun.
I know.
Well, maybe it's a release.
Sure. That's the way to look at it.
Is. Exactly. It is. It's that adrenaline rush, but...
My band, The Telepaths, will be playing at Phyllis's Musical Inn on Saturday, March 31st.
Oh.
Be there.
That's a great place.
Aloha.
What instrument do you play, Patrick?
He sings.
I'm the lead singer.
Yeah.
I play with myself, as they say.
Oh, God.
Can I say that on the radio?
No, we didn't hear you say that. Patrick McDonald, film critic for HollywoodChicago.com. Visit HollywoodChicago.com. And then if you want to take the film tours, ChicagoFilmTour.com is the website to visit. Patrick, thank you very much. Thanks
Absolutely,
for being here.
Absolutely, guys.
We'll talk to Steve next and find out what he has planned for you on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.